Let's talk about our democracy for a minute. But let's do it in a way that makes the snowflakes' heads explode. Let me be clear before this podcast begins. We are loud,
proud,
and do not give a fuck. This is the Tony Michaels Podcast. Real and raw political and social commentary. The freedom to oppress the rights of other people is not liberty, you shit-eating moron. Ah, the smell of freedom of speech. This is the Tony Michaels Podcast, and this is Tony Michaels. Hey, Tony, fuck 'em.
I was incorrect, and it's the best kind of incorrect you can be. Tony was wrong! Right, the fat buck walked into the courtroom this morning. He was not afforded his Hail Mary pass to delay the trial any further. And a lot of people said he was scared or he's terrified. Now, I want to clarify this. I actually do not think that Donald Trump can actually feel feelings much. And the feelings of terrified and scared have probably never really entered into his repertoire of feelings and emotions, right? I think what the feeling was today was limits. The boundaries of accountability are starting to close in on him. And he's never had that before, right? These are new emotions to this guy. And poor old fella. Poor guy's never actually felt accountability and what it feels like before. And this is not just a slap on the wrist. This is real. These are felony convictions if they do convict him of this. So, repertoire. Yeah, I don't know. What do you want from me? I don't know how to talk that good. Do you? Do yous? Oh, so, you know, we're going to show a little bit of the clip of Donald Trump walking into the courtroom there. So you're going to get to see that. But we're going to focus a little more of our energy today on how the media is starting to catch on to the phrase white Christian nationalism. They're so close. They're so fucking close. Like, it's so close, but they're not quite there yet. They're still calling them just Christian nationalists. And they're like, well, it's kind of like white nationalism and Christian nationalism and white supremacy. It's kind of like that kind of thing altogether. Yeah, white Christian nationalism. We need to keep branding this and keep making space for the media to do this. I believe it was Stephanie on the 11th hour. Stephanie Ruhle did a segment on Christian nationalism and had a few people on. So we'll take a look at that clip there. But it's very important that we keep, you know, getting this across to America, because as we go into this trial and as we start to get into the general cycle, as we gear up for the summer for the two conventions and the possibility of Trump backing out of debates, because that's likely what is going to happen, is that Trump won't actually debate Joe Biden. Why would he? What the fuck would he do that for? I mean, really? Why in the fuck would Donald Trump debate Joe Biden? Huh? What on what fucking planet is there anything good that would come of that? That's why Donald Trump didn't debate the Republican primary candidates. Because there's no benefit for him to do that. Because he would lose badly. I mean, Dark Brandon would bend him over his knee and spank him right on stage. Right? I mean, there is nothing that Donald Trump could say about Joe Biden that Joe Biden isn't going to bring the facts that shows that it's all projection and foreshadowing at this point. So, I mean, I don't actually see that happening. But knowing that, what we have to understand is that this election, as we get closer to November, is going to be less and less and less about Donald Trump. I want the audience to understand that. America needs to understand that. That's right. The closer, now we have to go vote against him. It has to be about voting against Trump and MAGA and white Christian nationalism. That's right. So we have to focus in on that. We really have to hone our skills at discourse here to really put white Christian nationalism at the front of the conversation. Because MAGA or Make America Great Again, we all who are paying attention to politics know that that's white Christian nationalism, right? We know the Trump cult, which is known as MAGA, is white Christian nationalism. We know that Trump is playing to his base, which is white Christian nationalism, which is basically America first Nazism, right? That's what this whole thing is about, is fascism. They're wanting to take control of the country so they can undermine our democracy so they can have a fascist state. And there's a lot of Republicans that are willing to act like that this won't happen just because they're Republicans and they're going to vote Republicans. And the media needs to do a better job. Now, one example of this over the weekend was on This Week with George Stephanopoulos, where he was interviewing Governor Sununu. And George Stephanopoulos did one of the best things and the only things that you should be doing with these fucking pieces of sludge, these Republican MAGA pieces of sludge, is asking them direct questions about what they're willing to do in their party and who they are willing their leader to be. And then what they should do is ask them that yes or no question. I'm going to show you that clip as well. Shaz is back in the chat. Shaz, I want to point out here, you say, shame on you, Stormy. Dude, Donald Trump fucked Stormy Daniels, or tried to. I don't know if he actually fucked her. Yeah, Donald Trump was the one who wanted to fuck Stormy. Stormy didn't want to fuck Donald Trump. No one wants to fuck Donald Trump. Okay? You got it? I hope that's clear to you. Shame on Stormy. For what? For telling the fucking truth that his dick is little? Telling the truth that Donald Trump fucking paid her money so that she wouldn't say that they'd had sex together while his wife was at home with a brand new baby. Is that what it is? Is that what she should have shame for? Because Donald Trump paid to fuck her? Essentially what he did. He paid to fuck her. Shame on her. Sex work is work. You of all people should know this. Fucking selling pictures of your dick online. You of all people should know that sex work is work. And really, honestly, man, I don't know why you're in the chat right now. What you should be doing is going out and producing money-making content on the Grindr app or whatever app it is that you sell dick pics on. So shame on Stormy, though. Great narrative. It's a great narrative. Did your Vladdy daddy tell you to type that in? Was that on the copy paste board for today for your talking points in the chat? I love it. Oh, the fucking MAGA trolls are really going to lose today badly. And the reason why is because they're like, this case is so flimsy, which actually, honestly, I believe that this is the flimsiest of the felony cases against him. That's my personal belief, especially when they try to spin it as election interference. And I don't actually believe that's great rhetoric. And we should continue that rhetoric. And we should continue to ask him, why did he want to cover up the fact that he was fucking Stormy Daniels in 2016 while when he fucked her, his wife was at home with a little baby. Were you just trying to cover it up so no one knew so we'd vote for you? You didn't think the pussy thing was enough? Look, they were not going to not vote for Donald Trump because Stormy Daniels got paid money to not say, right? They're not going to do it. They were going to vote for him. He was on tape talking about how he likes sexually assault women. And he's like, just locker room talk. And they voted for him. You don't think they're going to vote for him if he had sex with a porn star while his wife was at home with a baby? And let's be clear. It is about the election, right? It is about the election. It's not about Melania Trump or hurting her feelings, as if Melania Trump didn't know that Donald Trump was running around trying to fuck anything that moved. Come on, man. Come on, man. But I think it's going to be very hard for the prosecutors to sell the case to the jury as an election interference case, because it's easy out here in the public, right? It's easy out here in the public. We can, you know, pretty much sell it however we want, package it however we want. But in a courtroom, it's a little different. Okay. And that's the thing that I think the left is really getting their hopes up for. You're really getting, yes, Shuby, it is erection interference, if anything. It's erection interference. The left is really getting its hopes up a lot. And I was hoping today that their hopes wouldn't be shattered, but and we did. We were commencing on a criminal trial, the first criminal trial of any former president to be, you know, judged by a jury of his peers. Now, today isn't the day that he's going to go to jail. They're just starting the jury selection process, which will be boring as fuck. And I'm sure the left wing is going to try to make it all loud. It's so entertaining. No, it's not. Courtrooms are fucking boring, mostly. I mean, unless it's some sort of civil trial against Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Or if you have a former football star who murdered his wife and her boyfriend, or her friend, whatever it was. You know, O.J. Simpson's taking a dirt nap now. So I guess that becomes relevant. But we're going to see, you're going to see so much content that's going to be built around the stupid procedures of the court that are always the procedures of the court. Just normal, typical procedures, and people are going to sell you that it's not normal and not typical. Because it's Trump, which, I mean, there are going to be things that aren't typical because he is a former president and he is being flanked by Secret Service. It's a thing that hasn't happened before. So there are going to be new things, but there's going to be some things that they're going to try to sell you that are not new, that happen every time. It's not that big of a deal. It really is how it normally works. And they're going to sell it like somehow, you know, Trump's getting away with something when we could be wasting our breath with white Christian nationalism. And I hope it's what we can really strong arm the media into doing. Because the threat here, and it's obvious this morning, if you watch the if you watch the tape of him walking into the courtroom. If you, and we're going to watch it when you watch it, you'll realize. But this guy is not the threat. This is not some fucking tough guy that's going to win a lot of elections going forward. I mean, he really hasn't won an election ever. He got lucky and won on a technicality in 2016, right? The technicality of the Electoral College. Even though MAGA couldn't find the university, the campus of the college. Oh boy. So he's never actually won an election. And even in the midterms, this guy's a big loser. In his Senate candidate picks, he's a big loser. He's lost so many governor's races that he had picks on. So this guy's one of the biggest fucking losers in American politics. He just happened to win on the technicality one time. And because he won on the technicality one time and he allowed the Republican Party to become the worst version that they've always truly wanted to be anyways. They just knew it wasn't good for electoral politics. He allowed them to do that. And then he did a swift coup attempt on our government. And then he actually did a coup on the Republican Party. And that's probably one of the biggest wins he's ever had, is his coup on the Republican Party. Because not only is the Republican Party stock down this morning, but so is Trump's social media. It is tanking as well. And it's going to continue this way. We just have to make sure the country understands that the Republican Party is Trump and Trump is the Republican Party. They are one and the same. They are not two different entities anymore. And we have to get people to understand that these people are not not capable, nor should we trust them to govern in any of our governments, whether it be federal, state, county, city, all the way down to the goddamn dog catcher. And that's the message that we need to get across. And that's what needs to make, and that's what we need to make sure that the American public understands going into November, is that this is way more than about Trump. It's about our national identity. And do we want our nation to be known as a nation where we use white Christian nationalism as our policy base? We use America First Nazism as our policy base. And I don't believe that there is a majority of the country that would even consider that if we give them that messaging correctly. Because there is one thing very clear about the American electorate. They vote against things. They very rarely will vote for things. I mean, they will, but not as many of them. Not as many of them. So we need to make sure that we leave enough space in our rhetoric and our vitriol and our propaganda, our pro-democracy propaganda. I don't want anyone to be scared of that word. The left is going to be terrified of that word. They would cringe. And some of you are probably cringing when you hear me say that word, propaganda. Well, we got a country to save. We got a democracy to defend here. It is super important, super vital that the country knows, that voters know what's at stake. And if we can make Trump, MAGA, and white Christian nationalism all one entity that is coming after your rights, just like they came after women's rights and criminalized pregnancy. If we can convince the country of that and use the row rage that exists, and it should. There should be row rage for valid fucking reasons. But if we can convince the country that, hey, what they did with women and what they continue to do to women and women's rights to health care is what they're going to do to all your rights, whether it be your religion, whether it be your sexual orientation or how you dress or what books you read, what music you listen to, what your ideas are. It is super important that we get this message across to the country. And again, I believe that we have left enough space for the media to do a lot of this. And we're going to leave more and more space. We're going to move these boundaries. Now, we are going, I was in the book club on Friday. And if you guys aren't in the book club, you need to get on Discord. It's free to get on the Discord. You just download the app. You go to thetonymichaels.com, pan on down, and you just hit the Discord server button right there, or the book club button, either way. They're covering Rule White Rage, the book. And I'm actually in talks to have the authors on the show, not just once, but several times, because they truly believe, and I've been in direct contact with them, they truly believe that white Christian nationalism, the same way I believe it, is the actual real threat here. Not Trump himself. And we can probably use their voice. We can use the voice of Dr. Rachel Bitticoffer. We can use some of these other voices to make space in the media for them to start talking about this. And again, Stephanie Ruhle did do a segment on Christian nationalism. But we need to keep at it and keep the messaging going about white Christian nationalism. It is super important that we put that word white in front of it. This is not just your ordinary Christian nationalism. This is not your ordinary nationalism. This isn't your ordinary white nationalism or white supremacy. That's not what this is. This is the worship of a nation and a nation's whiteness. And that is what this is. This is not Christianity. It is like the National Socialist in 1930s Germany. They weren't socialists. They actually killed the socialists. And really, the white Christian nationalists, if they take over the country, they're probably going to come after the actual Christians. are going to come after the actual Christians, because the actual Christians will be able to be like, no, you're not Christian. This is Christian. They'll be like, no, you're dead. This is how fascism works. This is how it goes. And I have some funny videos for you today. It's not all serious stuff. Of course, it's the Tony Michaels podcast. It's not all serious stuff. And I'm hoping to get to maybe a couple of the clips from the Trump rally, because it's hilarious, by the way. Oh, my God. This guy is such a dumb fuck. It is so funny how stupid he is. Like, it is fucking hilarious how stupid he is. He is just the most ignorant son of a bitch I have ever seen in my life. When he's talking about Gettysburg, oh, fuck. It's great. It's fantastic. So we're going to go through these clips. I also want to tell everyone, I want to thank everyone for joining us last night on the Sunday rant, that joined us live and rewatched it on Patreon. It's super important that you know that Patreon is going to be changing soon. The team is working up a lot of changes. We're going to have a lot of different stuff going on over there. So I wanted to tell you about that too in the A block. And the reason why is because we now cut off on YouTube after the first break. And we're going to do that again today. That's right. We're going to cut you off because you're on YouTube. It's not because we don't like you. It's because YouTube are bastards. There are a bunch of bastards over there on YouTube. So if you don't like that, that's fine. You can not watch, or you can come over and join us on Twitch. You can join us on Facebook. Here's how you find us when you need to find us, and you can't find us either after the A block. Okay, let's see. Let me refresh this thing. There we go. All right. So here is thetonymichaels.com. You just go to thetonymichaels.com. It's at the top of the screen. See, you're like right here. See thetonymichaels.com. It's right there all the time, almost every show. So you go to thetonymichaels.com. You hit subscribe at the top of the page. Here is the current episode link. It's always there with the thumbnail. So that's the most current full episode. And it links you to the place that you will be able to watch the full episode. So right now, when you click this thing, it takes you to Twitch. Maybe eventually it'll take you back to YouTube. I'm not sure. But I want to tell you that the reason why we're going to continue to do it the way we're doing it, number one, is because we do not want to lose the YouTube channel. We don't want to lose it. And we're at risk of losing it. And the reason why is because we have two strikes currently until about a month from now. So we got to be kind of careful, right, with YouTube if we don't want to lose the YouTube channel. Now, the other reason why is because Twitch is the only platform that I'm monetized on. I'm only monetized on Twitch. They're one of the only ones that'll let me monetize, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we'll get that. But here's the thing. If you go over to Twitch, you can actually use your Amazon Prime account to get commercial-free viewing over there. You just link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and that enables you to get commercial-free viewing. How you do that is you pan on down, and you click on this link here, link Amazon and Twitch. You just click that link and it gives you the directions. But back to Patreon real quick. We're going to have a lot of new stuff coming to Patreon. A lot of new benefits that are going to be over there. Product that's going to be over there. I'm going to try to make sure that you guys get to know me a little better on Patreon. So it's going to be access to me more than anything. And we're going to have a new tier or two over there. For you guys to support, and different things to pick from on those tiers. And then you're also going to be able to interact in a little different way. Patreon is changing. They've changed their platform, and for the better, I will say. I'm not always a fan of Patreon, but it is what it is. It is the thing that keeps me behind this microphone and me yelling and screaming. So it is viewers like you and contributions through Patreon that keep this show going and keep this microphone powered on against fascism. So I want to thank every single person that was there last night, every single person who contributes to Patreon every single month, and every single person who follows me over there for free. Please consider upping your membership. So many people have. I think last month, we had over 20 upgrades, which means 20 people upgraded their account, either from free to a paid account or from one paid account to a higher tier. So I want to thank you. And I, I, I don't know what I could do to show my appreciation, but it is very high for the audience here keeping this microphone powered on. So I appreciate you as always. So go to thetonymichaels.com. Check out everything that's going on over there. You can always find the full episode link right here at the top. Also, if you go to the store, you can, because you know we broadcast live from the Antifa corporate headquarters, Missouri. That's right. We broadcast from Commie Falls, Missouri. And as you take a look around the Commie Falls Antifa headquarters, you can go into the gift shop. And this is my new favorite t-shirt. Democracy is a joint effort. You guys, there's been several people ordering this shirt, liking this shirt. So keep an eye on the Commie Falls gift shop. There's bound to be some more Democracy is a Joint Effort merch going in there. So check it out there. If you go to thetonymichaels.com and click store at the top of the page. But if you go back to links, you can find the current episode and you're on the current episode. That's right, bitch. And we're going to show all these clips today. I think there's probably going to be some other clips of Trump inside the courtroom. I don't know. Are they having cameras in this court? I don't know. Oh my God. I can't wait to fucking not watch 1,000 videos and 1,000 people's same opinion on the stupid fucking jury selection. Oh, it's going to be so interesting when we can actually be talking about shit that fucking matters. Like, I don't know. Would Mike Johnson actually be the Speaker of the House, or will it be Donald Trump, or will we keep government open? Or how about white Christian nationalists trying to take away our fucking rights in these states? Well, stay tuned and you'll find out. And if you're on YouTube, hey, if you're on YouTube right now, if you're watching, you're going to want to go over to Twitch or Facebook. Just go to thetonymichaels.com and pan on down. You can hit the thumbnail right here. Take you straight to Twitch. I promise you. Just go to thetonymichaels.com and click fucking old poopy pants' face. Just hit it. Bam. Just fucking hit his face. Nazi punch him with your thumb. And it'll take you to Twitch. So you're going to want to go to Twitch is what I'm saying. Everyone else, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Right after this.
What the fuck is wrong with you people? It's a rhetorical question at best. We'll be right back on the Tony Michaels Podcast.
Fellow patriots, what would you do if there was a Trump supporter right in front of you, crying in pain because they have to live under communist tyranny? We know what you would do. You'd reach out and give that true American a hand. Now, here's your chance. For only $50 a day, you can help us help those true Americans recover from Biden's socialist reign of terror. These are those Trump supporters, and this is that moment. Send your donation via Venmo to the real president, Donald J. Trump. It's only $50 a day, recurring, and it means you'll get these Trump supporters the critical help they so desperately need to survive under this false regime. Please donate now, because those Trump supporters you just saw can't wait another moment.
Fuck 'em, fuck 'em, fuck 'em, fuck 'em, fuck 'em, fuck 'em. We're back to the Tony Michaels Podcast.
See you later, YouTubers.
Oh boy. I wonder how much that really pisses them off. You think that really pisses people off? I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I just dumped more than half the audience. We had like 2,200 people watching. And when I turned YouTube off, now we're just under 1,000. Get some of them back. It happens. I guess maybe more than anything, it shows my commitment to keep the YouTube channel. I don't know. I don't know exactly how to frame it. I think it's just something that we have to do. I don't believe that the audience nor the team nor the fuck 'em fam want to lose the YouTube channel. And if I'm over there talking about clips and stuff and, you know, doing my normal shit when we're going through clips, it is likely that we will have a third strike, which will mean it'll nuke our channel. That's all it means. And we don't, I don't want to be off YouTube. Now I will tell you, can you redirect from YouTube to Twitch? I mean, no, they don't communicate. So that's why I'm saying you got to go to thetonymichaels.com and click the thumbnail at the top. It'll take you directly to Twitch. It's the easiest way for me to do it. That's the easiest way to do it like that. But, you know, again, I would love to broadcast the entire show on YouTube. But I just, you know, I don't know that we want to risk, at least at this point, because we got an important year here. And I guess the question that was posed to me is it more important to be on YouTube at all during this election cycle? Or is it more important to broadcast every single piece of Tony content on YouTube? And I think it was more important to be on YouTube than it was to broadcast every single thing. I'm not going to change the fucking show because of YouTube. Fuck that shit. Listen, there are a lot of folks out there that their goal is to have a YouTube channel. You know who they are. You do not have to guess who they are. That is these people's ultimate fucking goal, is to have a YouTube channel. And the majority of people that you watch, and some of the ones that I speak out against on the left, that is their goal, is to have a YouTube channel. My goal is not to fucking have a YouTube channel. It's not to have a YouTube channel. I mean, that's not the end goal. That's not like the top line goal. The top line goal is to have a 2-hour show that can change discourse in this country and change it to where we can move to a space that we don't have to fucking be in this crazy goddamn timeline anymore. We can actually concentrate on fucking things that matter to the American people. But we can't have those types of conversations. We can't do that type of compromising. We can't do that type of legislating. We can't do that type of policy setting if we don't make sure that Nazis aren't in our fucking government trying to overthrow our democracy. Like, it would be great to have those discussions, but we're going to have to do it after we do the whole, you know, inoculating ourselves of fascism in our governments. I mean, I don't know if you saw over the weekend, and I'm going to play the best clip that I've got of Mike Johnson and Donald Trump. But it was a shit show, those two. That press conference, what a fucking shit show that was. And it just shows you what I've been saying about the Republican Party for years is correct. That they are, it's not that they desire authoritarianism. They are practicing authoritarianism right now as we speak. Their party is run by a king. Their party is run by a Republican Jesus. And they bow down at his fucking feet. Mike Johnson knows that the only way that he's really going to get funding for Israel and he's going to be able to do his job is to get funding for Ukraine. Mike Johnson knows this. He knows this. It's vitally important for his job to get funding for Ukraine, to help in the fight against a fucking murderous dictator like Vladimir Putin, who invaded a sovereign nation. Okay? It's super important for the American democracy, but more than that, the institution of our military and our defense, that we give them aid. And the reason why is because we don't want to send troops. We don't want to. The American public is not gonna have an appetite for sending troops to Ukraine or to Poland. They're not. Boots on the ground in a hot war with American troops is not going to be sustainable with the American public. And the only way The only way to really make sure that we don't get ourselves in a situation where we may have to do that is provide aid to Ukraine so they can fight the war. Because Ukraine can fight this war, but they need help doing it. Not as far as boots on the ground, but the equipment, the funding. So we must, as the shining city on the hill of democracy, show our support for other democracies around the world. Mike Johnson knows that, right? I believe he actually knows that. But he's in a cult. He's in a cult, right? He's in a cult. And it's in a very authoritarian regime, this cult. And because he prescribes to white Christian nationalism, he will do just about anything for the cult. Not for the truth, not for the world, not for the good of people, but for the cult. And right now, the cult has one goal and one goal only: to make sure Donald Trump remains their cult leader. They do not want a Kool-Aid moment. It's coming. Can't you feel it? Can't you feel the Kool-Aid moment? Ah, oh, man, it's fucking... Whew. It's getting here quick, fast, and in a hurry, I feel like.
Oh, yeah!
I mean, I really do. I think it's really rushing. We're really rushing to the point to where we're going to have an obvious Kool-Aid moment. It happened in Jonestown. And everyone wants to point to Jonestown as, you know, kind of the mockery of the MAGA cult. But it actually has great parallels, if you think about it. Now, the MAGA cult didn't actually retreat to a foreign nation and surround itself inside of wilderness to protect its ideology, right? Because sometimes when you have ideologies or even theologies, the truth kind of bangs it up a bit. But MAGA has done that digitally, right? They've done it digitally. They've done it how they consume information. The algorithms have made that possible, right? Algorithms aren't to blame for this. I want to be clear. Algorithms aren't to be able to be blamed for this, because really algorithms are just garbage in, garbage out. So we give the algorithm the input. It feeds us the garbage out, the output. So garbage humans produce garbage timelines, if that makes sense. Someone who is has a preconceived bias towards bigotry, right? And they're a bigot. They're pretty much a Nazi. All they need to be shown is that, yeah, you're a Nazi. Oh, I was a Nazi this whole time. I didn't realize it. Facebook let me know that. The algorithm showed me that I'm a fucking racist piece of shit. Yes. But the algorithms are kind of designed that way to feed us what we want. Give us the information that our brain so desires to produce the outcomes that we think is reality. One of the videos, and I wish I knew if I could show it. I don't think I can actually show it because we're broadcasting from Facebook. I know I can show it on X because it's all over X. And you might have seen this video over the weekend. There was a carjacking somewhere. I'm not even sure where the fuck this was at. There was a carjacking and a guy gets out of his work truck. He's even got his work vest on, like his reflective vest. And he gets out of his work truck to try to stop this carjacking. And he's a good guy with a gun. You know, everyone's like, oh, he was the one trying to help. So he gets out of his truck and he has a pistol in his hand. Right? He has a pistol in his hand. And the carjacker decides to take his truck. Now, this good guy with a gun walks up to the truck where the carjacker is getting into the truck. And he fires at him 4 or 5 times, I believe, in almost point blank range, right? and he's firing into the door and into the window of the truck. And the assailant, the person carjacking the truck, or truckjacking the truck, whichever applies here, he backs the truck up, of course, you know, because the guy's firing the weapon into it, a pistol. It's like a semi-automatic pistol. I'm not sure, maybe 9mm. I'm not really sure what caliber it was. But moments after that happens, because the truck backs way up, and when you start to realize that the reason why the truck is backing so far away from the guy who was firing the weapon, you realize it was because he was going to try to pick up steam. So he speeds this work truck, and it's like a 3-ton truck. I mean, this isn't a small pickup truck. This is a big motherfucking work truck with a big, huge utility bed on it. And I think it even had a boom on it, even with stabilizer legs. This fucking thing weighs a lot. And it's not like you're just going to make this motherfucker go 0 to 60 in, you know, 2.2 seconds. It's going to take a little bit to get this motherfucker up to speed. It's a big hunk of fucking metal. And of course, you see everyone in the video say, "Get the hell out of the way. He's going to run us over," because he's speeding back towards the guy who shot at him. And he runs him over in the video. It's gruesome. It really, I don't even know if you can play a shit on TV like that. I have no idea. I don't know. And the guy died. So the good guy with the gun, you know, because everyone says, "What stops a bad guy with a gun? Well, a good guy with a gun. Well, what stops a good guy with a gun? A 3-ton truck, apparently." Right? But this is all perspective. It's all perspective. They're posting the actual tweet in the Discord live chat. That's the nice part about the Discord live chat is you can. Yeah, Theron is pointing out that the tweet that was dropped is by Mario Nafalt. Now, you guys know I know Mario Nafalt. I've been in his Twitter spaces before. It's been a long time since I've been in his Twitter spaces. But he says the Good Samaritan, the guy shooting the guy. The guy shooting the gun. Listen to me. Look, I don't want people to carjack people's cars. I don't want people to steal people's cars. I don't want that. But the punishment for stealing someone's car isn't death. Okay? That's not the proper punishment. And you shouldn't be discharging your weapon because someone's stealing a car. That's not the reason why you discharge a weapon. You should discharge a weapon because someone's life's in danger, right? That if we're going to do this thing and we're going to do it correctly, we should have some common sense about us that we shouldn't just be getting our gun out and fucking firing at anyone at any point. Like if your attitude is that I'm concealing and caring for personal safety and personal protection, then you should have that. And maybe one good regulation for people who want to carry weapons like this would be that if you discharge your weapon and you discharge it for a reason like that, if you don't get run over by the truck and get killed, then we put you in prison for life. Maybe make you think a little bit before you just start fucking firing a weapon at anyone. Yeah, but he's a criminal. He was stealing a truck. But the punishment for stealing a truck isn't death. Okay? It's not. And really, honestly, now that you were shooting at the guy, he was not defending himself. The guy in the truck was not defending himself. He was far enough away. The guy wasn't shooting at him. The one guy was attempting to murder him, and the other guy did murder him with the truck. It's so stupid. But it's all a matter of perspective, right? I guess. Is it not a matter of perspective? So we have to have some perspective on things. Speaking of perspective on things, first off, I want to show you a little bit here. This is... Oh, boy. is that this morning? No, that's not this. Yeah, it is. That's got to be this morning, right? I think that's this morning. Yeah. So this is this morning, the Trump stock. Oh, fuck. That son of a bitch is down below $30. That fucker is tanking while he's tanking in court. And I want to show you this. Let's see. Let's see here. I thought I retweeted a better video of him walking in. Well, here it is. Here's the video of him walking into the courtroom, meandering in. Now, a lot of people are using the word scared or terrified of how he looks in this video, but we'll talk about it here. Let's watch a little bit of this.
Because they're under oath. All these questions through the questionnaire.
And let me note that Donald Trump is now walking in to the courtroom accompanied.
I like when he like stops it. Oh, man, they're actually going to hold me accountable. God damn it. I want to ask the audience, did you guys, when you were younger, did you ever get your mouth washed out with soap? You remember this when you were a kid, if you said a curse word, like your parents would wash your mouth out with soap? It's such a dumb way to, such a stupid way to try to prevent, someone from cursing, especially a child. But you guys were, even if you didn't have your mouth washed out with soap, You probably have seen it. Now, when I was a kid, my aunt, because I think my mom tried to wash my mouth out with soap one time, and I didn't stop cursing, so it didn't work. So soap was not a no-go. But my aunt would make you hold the bar of soap, like a bar like ivory, in your fucking mouth. She wouldn't, like, wash your mouth out. You just hold the fucking bar of soap in your mouth, and you sit there. fucking stupid. But this is now the reason why I say that is because right here, this little walk in, how he's like, ugh, it feels like the walk from the bedroom to the kitchen because your mom caught you using the F.
And let me note that Donald Trump is now walking in
right there
to the courtroom accompanied with.
Man, do I really got to go to the kitchen and get my mouth washed out with soap again? Ugh. The accountability is killing me. Oh, man. And then he walks up to the bars. I love it how they put bars all over to have Trump behind
with
bars.
His legal team.
His legal team. There's just one dude. All right. Let's listen. Let's hear.
This is assault on America.
This is an assault on America. Dude, you did this, man. What are you talking about? An assault on America. You leave us the fuck out of this. Okay? You leave us the fuck out of this shit, motherfucker. We ain't got nothing to do with this shit, okay? All right. Now I do want to point out, because Mixon makes a good point. Is he makeupless? I don't know if he's makeupless or it's just the fucking lighting. In the hallway here of the courtroom. I'm not familiar with how many windows there are, but it feels like on this side of his face, I mean, he looks dead, doesn't he? Doesn't he look like a fucking walking corpse at this point? This guy looks like shit. And seriously, honestly, before this election, they really need to have fucking gender reconfirming surgery and get rid of this neck pussy he's got. Good God. I mean, he paid E. Jean Carroll how many millions of dollars? He's going to pay the state of New York how many millions of dollars? And this guy can't take care of this fucking neck vag? Jesus Christ, man. Put that shit away. Fuck. Something. Tuck that shit up. Surely it couldn't take more than a weekend to get rid of that fucking goddamn neck pussy he's got going. Good Lord, it's offensive. It's probably the most offensive thing about this sumbitch. That's a lot, man. That's a lot. That's a lot. I think that's why he keeps his ties red, because he can't really stuff a tampon in this thing. So the ties have to be red to hide the, you know, it's like, when they wear brown uniforms, so you can't see them, that they shit themselves. He wears a red tie, so you can't see that, you know, his neck's got on its period. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, what do you want from me? All right. Here's Grandpa. Keep going there, your Grandpa.
Nothing like this has ever happened before. It's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar said this case is nonsense.
Yes, yes. It's never happened before. We've never elected such a criminal to be the president before. And then we've never had a fucking ex-president be such a fucking criminal before and keep criming all the time. Yeah, it's never happened before. It's never happened before now, you fucking scumbag. It has never happened, and hopefully it never fucking happens again. I hope we learn our fucking lesson. I seriously doubt it. History tends to repeat itself. So, you know, this is a warning to the future generations and the younger folks in the room that, hey, history tends to do this shit again. So beware of fucking assholes like this guy. But yeah, it's never happened before. And this whole idea that all the legal scholars are saying this case is a bunch of bullshit, that's a bunch of bullshit. I mean, yeah, I actually have doubts about this case. I actually think it's the flimsiest case that they have against him. Really, honestly. Between Georgia, the coup attempt, the documents case, and the possible Arizona election interference case, I believe this is the flimsiest of the criminal cases against him. Number one, it's the fucking oldest. Number two, this shit happened before he was president of the United States and while he was president, but it really has nothing to do with the 2020 election where he was trying to steal our fucking government and overthrow our government, right? He was just trying to make sure that Stormy Daniels didn't tell the world that he tried to fuck her. I think that's what the evidence is going to show. And yeah, he was running for president, so he didn't want it to get out there in the open so he could get elected. But I mean, honestly, if you want to play the game, almost every politician hides shit that they don't want the electorate to know. That's the truth. That's the fucking truth. You can, it might not be as bad as someone trying to fuck a porn star while their wife's home with a fucking infant, but it is the truth. There are most politicians have shit that they don't want their constituents to know about them. Fuck, there's shit that you don't want me to know about you, and there's shit I don't want you to know about me. Everyone's got their fucking skeletons, don't they? For crying out loud. Are we all that pristine and perfect? No. Get the fuck out of here. That's why that we need to get off our fucking high horses and stop acting like we're pristine and we have this fucking cute little image of ourselves that we've cultivated online. The fuck out of here. We're all humans. And humans are garbage. If you really think about it, humans are fucking garbage, right? I mean, that's like the bar. Humans are garbage. It's just a matter of how much of a steamy pile of garbage they are. And this guy is a steamy pile. I know you guys are mad at me. You're mad at me. You're like, it is election interference, Tony. I've been listening to people saying that it is. Yeah, but if you really fucking look at the case and all that kind of stuff. Listen, folks, it's going to be a hard sell to a jury. It's going to be. They're going to have a hard time selling. They had a hard time selling to a grand jury that way. So it's going to be difficult. And that's all I'm saying, that this is the flimsiest of the cases. That's why I'm disappointed that this is the first one. And the only reason why this is the first one is because the federal trials were delayed. So this one puts this one up to bat. That's it. That's it. But we shouldn't have high expectations from this, nor. And if you are having high expectations from this, you need to turn the fucking videos off, because the videos that you're watching is giving you too high a hopes about what this trial is going to do to this scumbag. All right. Just let it do what it's going to do. And we'll message around it, because trust me, there's nothing more than this fucking idiot talking out loud that we can use to message. Listen.
Never been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case, and they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. No.
I'm a victim. I totally did what I did. Michael Cohen even went to jail. I was an unindicted co-conspirator in the federal case. I totally did this crime, but it's so egregious that you're holding me accountable. It's what a fucking joke. What a joke. And the country is going to see it. They're going to get to see it. They're going to get, that's ultimately the best part about this. is that the country is going to get to see how this fucking idiot reacts to being held accountable for shit he did and has done and plans on doing. So, yeah. But I'm not so confident in the case. One of the reasons why I'm not so confident in the case, and a lot of you are going to be mad that I'm going to say this, so be prepared to be pissed off at Tony, is that Michael Cohen isn't one of the best witnesses. I know it feels like he is, but he's not. Michael Cohen was a liar, and he's a known liar. He fucking tried to fucking lie to a judge here recently in his hearing to try to get his probation knocked down a few months. He used AI, and then he lied about the AI in the court proceedings. That's not a good standing for someone who's going to be a witness in a trial like this. It's not. One of the best witnesses is Pecker. Pecker is one of the best witnesses in this case. And the reason why is because, because Pecker doesn't want to go to jail for this motherfucker. Alan Weisselberg will go to jail for this son of a bitch. I don't know what the hell Donald Trump has on Alan Weisselberg, but he's got all kinds of fucking dirt on Alan Weisselberg for sure. But I don't believe that he has it on Pecker. And Pecker is probably one of the best witnesses against him. Not Stormy, but Pecker. Because Pecker is the way, that's really where the election interference, if you want to call it that, came in. But isn't it funny? Oh, man. Isn't it funny that we have, maybe we should make a t-shirt, a porn star, a pussy grabber, and a Pecker. All in this story here at the New York State trial. That's probably the best part about it. It's just a porn star, a pussy grabber, and a Pecker. Oh, that could be a fucking, that could be a t-shirt. All right, go ahead, Grandpa. Keep going.
Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America.
It's an assault on America. It should have never been brought. Then by that standard, Michael Cohen should have never went to prison. By the standard that Donald Trump is setting in his fucking stupid statement this morning, walking into the courthouse, it should have never been brought in a federal case, and Michael Cohen should have never fucking been convicted or pled guilty, is what Michael Cohen actually did. Michael Cohen pled guilty, and it's said to protect his wife. Now, I want to be clear. I give Michael Cohen credit. I don't want to be too tough on Michael here if Michael hears this. He might not like me anymore. I don't think Michael actually likes me. I think Michael Cohen actually likes me. That's okay though. But I do want to give Michael credit. And I said this during the Lev Parnas video. And I know Lev is good friends with Michael too, because they used to be in that Trump universe and all that shit. But I said it during Lev's interview that Michael Cohen and Lev Parnas actually went to Congress and testified in front of Congress, and they testified to their lies and Donald Trump's lies. So I give them credit for that. I really do. There is nothing more democratic than someone going to a congressional hearing and telling the truth, especially about a scumbag like this, when they could have just lied and lied and lied, like Alan Weisselberg, Cash Patel, and others, and just continue to lie about this piece of shit. A few others is Cassidy Hutchinson and some of the others that were inside the Trump administration at the time that were actual lawyers inside the general counsel's office. So those people, you got to give them credit to go before Congress and do that under oath. You really do. But also Michael's not the best fucking witness. I don't think. I don't believe so. I mean, you might say, well, he is because he was there and he knows the shit, but yeah. But I mean, he wrote a book called Revenge, right? He wrote a book called Revenge. And it's not that I don't want Trump to get convicted of this. I do, but that's what I'm trying to tell you, is I want him to be convicted of this. I just hope and pray that they aren't able to convince the jury that maybe Michael Cohen is full of shit. You see what I mean? All right, keep going, Grandpa. Let's hear the round out here.
And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really...
Oh my God. Keep fucking talking, man. Just don't ever stop talking. If you didn't catch what he said there, he said, this is a disgrace. And it's so beautiful that it's such a disgrace. That's why he's there. He loves being there. He's proud to be there. If you're proud to be there, then shut the fuck up and go in the courtroom and take the one on the chin, bitch. What are you waiting on? Why are you standing out here whining and complaining if you're proud to be there and you're proud to do this for your country as if you're patriotic because you fucking paid a porn star to keep her mouth shut so that you could get elected because you tried to fuck her? I don't even know if he actually did fuck her. I don't know if he can fuck. I don't know if he can. I mean, she's saying it's like this. How the fuck are you going to fuck someone with something like that? Huh? I mean, I'm not saying I'm the biggest guy in the world. I do not have a huge dick. I do not. I don't. Frankly, by some measure, it would be considered average probably. But if it's true, if she's saying that his dick is like this big, which I would not be surprised, how in the fuck are you going to fuck anything like that? Huh? I don't know. It's a good question, right? These are all questions. Maybe they'll ask these questions in the courtroom. Did you actually fuck her? Well, I was trying to, but it was hard to get it out from underneath my fucking fupa. ratchet. Tony making me uncomfortable. What? I mean, this is all part of the case. What? I mean, this is part of the case. He tried to fuck her with his little mushroom dick. That's the whole thing. He went to a party. There was a bunch of porn stars there. He picked her out. He wanted to fuck her with his little bitty mushroom. He took her back to his fucking room, and he made her spank him with a magazine that had his face on it. He told her she reminded him of his daughter, and then he tried to fuck her. What do you want from me? That's the fucking story, isn't it? Isn't that what they tried to cover up? Or am I fucking wrong? Am I wrong here? Is there something that they were trying to cover up besides that?
I'm going to come.
This is the whole reason why this fucking asshole is standing here in the first place. Because he tried to fuck a porn star at one of his parties with his little mushroom dick. And then he tried to cover it up. So his wife or the electorate didn't find out. Because he was afraid it wouldn't get him elected or some shit. That's why we're here. Because he was trying to fuck a porn star with his little mushroom dick. And that's the problem a lot of times is we lose this shit. We lose this. We lose the whole reason why we're here. It's the reason why the media sucks at this sometimes. It's because they're not just willing to say the fucking truth. And the truth is, this guy standing in the courtroom talking about how it's a fucking slight to America that he tried to fuck a porn star with his little mushroom dick. How in the fuck does that have anything to do with us, huh? Besides, he fucking tried to lie about it. And he tried to cover it up, and he tried to make fraudulent payments to cover it up. Fuck out of here. This shit.
Really, an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
It's attack on a political opponent, and I'm very honored to be here. And again, more foreshadowing from this motherfucker. More foreshadowing. More foreshadowing. I know we say projection a lot because he is constantly projecting, but this right here is foreshadowing, because what he's saying is he is going to have trials against his political opponents if he wins. That's what he's going to do. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed, this sumbitch has less and less hair every fucking day, it seems like. He can't really afford having less hair, you know, with the huge small mushroom dick ego that he has. I don't know. All right, speaking of the media and not being able to cover this well, I do want to show you a clip of the media covering something halfway decent. But before I get to that, I want to show you a video of the person. Now, this is back in May of 2023, okay? And this is from Governor Sununu. Now, if you know, Governor Sununu was a big backer of Nikki Haley. Up until the bitter end, he was a backer for Nikki Haley. And he was saying all kinds of crazy shit about Donald Trump, which I'm glad he was. because this is what he had to say to Anderson Cooper. Let's listen.
That he is a loser. And I, as a Republican, as a four-time winning Republican, I'm tired of losing. We should have won in 2020. Two, we lost. We should have won in 2020. We got everything white, our clock clean because of his leadership and his message isn't getting it done. I supported him in 2016. I supported him in 2020. But he's a three-time loser going on to be a four-time loser. And it's not just him that I'm worried about. I'm worried about the U.S. Senate races. You're worried about the governorships. I'm worried about the ballot that he affects up and down the ticket. I want winners. I want independents back on the team. I want young people to be reinvigorated by what I think is a great Republican conservative product that doesn't get the headlines it deserves because the former president just kind of tries to keep defending himself over the flaws of 2020.
Blah, 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 yakety schmackety. Right? All that sounded great. Everyone thought Sununu. Yeah, Sununu. Fuck yeah, man. He's on our team now. Boneheads. Sununu is not and never was on our team, folks. It's just not how it works in Republican politics like this. If you thought that sounded great, just wait, because Governor Sununu is backing Trump now. Even after saying that, he's backing Trump. Now, he went on this week's ABC This Week's with George Stephanopoulos. Stephanopoulos. And George handled him like the media should handle every single fucking one of these scumbags. Watch this.
That's how badly America wants a culture change.
So just to sum up, you would support him for president, even if he's convicted in classified documents. You support him for president, even though you believe he contributed to an insurrection. You support him for president, even though you believe he's lying about the last election. You support him for president, even if he's convicted in the Manhattan case. I just want to say the answer to that is yes, correct?
Yeah, me and 51% of America.
Oh my God. Oh fuck, man. That's great. Fantastic. I want to give props to George Stephanopoulos for making an absolute fool out of Governor Sununu. And Governor Sununu will probably never, ever, ever hold another office after this because he's such a fucking joke. What a fucking joke. Who in the fuck does he think he is, huh? This is why MAGA needs to be stopped. It needs to be stopped from in our government. And the reason why is because these people are not fucking even tethered to any sort of reality. Someone who is tethered to this type of reality would be so ashamed to say what he just fucking said. They would fucking puke their guts up if they said that shit in front of a live audience. Hundreds, probably thousands of people, not hundreds of thousands, maybe four or five. I'm not going to lie. This week with George Stephanopoulos probably does not have that many live viewers. It just doesn't. And shit's trash. Yeah, that's right. I said it. George is trash. This week is trash. It's trash. The Sunday shows are horrible. But what George did here is the correct thing. The correct thing. And what the media should do and continue to do is treat every single one of these fucking scumbags this way. Even people who claim to be against Donald Trump but are still considering themselves part of the Republican Party. Because that's the thing that this guy's doing, is he's counting on affiliation. He's counting on, even though he knows affiliation isn't going to carry Donald Trump, that there's not enough affiliation in the world to carry Donald Trump through this election. It's the reason why he was saying what he was saying last year and into the lead up of Nikki Haley dropping out of the race. By the way, where is Nikki? Has anyone seen Nikki Haley lately? Remember how she was going to fight to the bitter end? Remember that? Going to fight to the bitter end? Or some bullshit like that. Where is Nikki? I haven't seen her in a while. I mean, her surrogates are out there supporting Trump, acting like 51% of America. Listen to what he says here. Let's listen to it one more
badly
time.
America wants a culture change.
So just to sum up, you would support him for president, even if he's convicted in classified documents. You support him for president, even though you believe he contributed to an insurrection. You support him for president, even though you believe he's lying about the last election. You support him for president, even if he's convicted in the Manhattan case. I just want to say the answer to that is yes, correct?
Yeah, me and 51% of America.
Me and 51% of America. And look at this guy's face. He doesn't believe it, and neither does 51% of America. What a fucking asshead. What an asshole this guy is. A lot of people are typing in where Nikki Haley is at. They've got some secretly famous as she'll show up as a Trump supporter. I believe that fully. That Nikki Haley will 100% flip like this guy did and be a Trump supporter by the convention. She'll actually be on at the convention and she'll be forced to stand in front of the microphone and give South Carolina's votes, delegates to Donald Trump on the first ballot. That's what she'll do. As the former governor of South Carolina, I give our delegates to Donald Trump. That's what she'll say. There'll be footage of it. I'll probably play the clip. I'll play the clip. Speaking of clips in the media, here is the 11th hour with Stephanie Ruhle. Now, this is a 10-minute clip. My friend Christopher Webb put this huge chunk on Twitter. So I'm going to play it in a faster speed. So if it sounds fast, it's because I want to get through some of this. Because I want to show you, what the media is now starting to say about Christian nationalism. They're not there yet. They got to get the phrase white Christian nationalism. They're terrified. They're terrified of the phrase white Christian nationalism. The other reason why they're terrified to cover white Christian nationalism appropriately is because they're scared of defamation suits. Okay. That's why they're not covering it the way they should be covering it. For instance, we play a lot of clips from Right Wing Watch here on the Tony Michaels podcast. Right Wing Watch keeps track of especially a lot of these right wing pastors out there, these Trump type pastors. And we play some of those clips here on the Tony Michaels podcast to show you examples of how this white Christian nationalism really is the threat to our democracy, right? And it's white Christian nationalism specifically. And really, honestly, it is MAGA. MAGA is white Christian nationalism. White Christian nationalism is MAGA. Now, what a lot of the news organizations do is they play the sheep at the rallies saying their nonsense, right? They do. They play a lot of the Trump supporters, the toothless rednecks, the trailer park queens there at the Trump rallies in the sheep pens. You know, they're sheep. So they put them in the sheep pens, you know, to get them all organized into the rally, into the Nazi rally, wherever they're holding it. But that's not the appropriate thing for actual journalists to be doing. What journalists should be doing is doing one step further from what Right Wing Watch is doing and really bear down on where the messaging is coming from. Because you can go talk to a bunch of dum-dums, right, that saw this shit on Facebook or heard this shit on whatever fucking radio show or how are the hell they're getting this information pumped into their tiny little skulls, right? But you're not actually getting to the root of the problem, letting America know what is the actual problem until you get down to the spot where they're messaging this stuff. One of these things is Mike Flynn. Mike Flynn is a huge fucking messaging tool. And I don't know why the media doesn't cover him from front to back. I mean, I know one reason why is because they're terrified to be sued by him, because he sues people when they slight him. Mike Flynn sues. I would actually, honestly, if Mike Flynn's attorney sent me a C&D, a cease and desist, I would probably frame that bitch and hang it on my wall. I would tell them to go fuck themselves, because I'm not scared of a courtroom either. I would tell them to go fuck themselves. But I would probably frame it and just put it right up here. Fuck that guy. But here is Stephanie Ruhle on 11th Hour, the couple guest here. Again, I'm going to speed this up a bit. So that way we're going to watch it in time and a half. So if it sounds a little funny because it's fast, that's what is happening. Take a listen.
For lots of people, the way that they think about Christian nationalism is that this is a God-ordained country, God has blessed us in a certain way, and that Christianity should be the law of the land, and that we should all be following Christian rules. Christ should be at the center of everything, and Christian nationalism means that the foundations of the government are about Christianity and not about freedom of religion.
Well, the Christian nationalist movement is as powerful and strong as it is because it has invested for over 50 years in a number of organizations which not only promote the Christian nationalist message and ideology, but also build political power. And these organizations are often interconnected. There are policy groups, think tanks, legal advocacy groups, others that focus on legislation or data or networking. They often draw clergy into networks and give them messaging tools to turn out their congregants to vote for far-right candidates. And the thing to keep in mind is that the movement is radically anti-democratic at all levels. It rejects our founding principles and the principles of equality and pluralism that represent the best of the American promise.
And there's a fear that the progressive movement and woke ideology is going to destroy the country, the beliefs and values that they care about. But the reality, Stephanie, is that the objective conditions of the country are relatively good, certainly as good or better under Joe Biden than under Donald Trump. I think what's happening is, in some respects, fear is a justification as much as it is a cause for people on the right, the Christian nationalist movement. They think it's tied to feelings of dishonor and disrespect and also a fear of losing power, including a lot of white evangelicals losing power as America.
And there you have it, white evangelicals. And see, that's where the pairing of white supremacy and white nationalism pair with Christian nationalism or nationalism in general, which gives us the problem that we truly have, which is white Christian nationalism. It needs to be defined that way. And we need to keep moving this boundary. We need to keep pounding this boundary. We need to keep elevating this message that it's white Christian nationalism. And the reason why is because our message is finally getting into the mainstream. It is getting into the mainstream media. They are talking about it. And they are talking about it in a way that doesn't actually couple it with Trump, which is good. That's what we need. We need people to understand that this problem that we have with white Christian nationalism is well beyond Trump. And this thing will live well past Trump if our country is not made aware of this issue and what they're trying to do to not just our federal governments, but our local governments, our state governments, our county commissions, our city governments, our school boards. This is super important. And if we get America's attention here and we show them exactly what is happening, I'm telling you, there will be a tide turn. It'll take a while. It's going to take several decades to get these people really out of our government. And the reason why is because eventually they'll go quiet. Eventually they'll go back to the way that it used to be in white Christian nationalist politics, where they claim they're conservative. And we just want to talk about tax policy and the deficit. That's a bunch of bullshit. They never just cared about tax policy or the deficit. They use that to fund their campaigns to make sure that everyone in this country is white Christian and they worship them, the government. So I'm happy that the mainstream media, especially Stephanie Ruhle, and I'd like to have Stephanie on to talk to her about what made her get this segment going. Why did her and her producers pick out this segment on white Christian nationalism as it is? But my main question is, why won't they say the phrase white Christian nationalism? It needs to be defined properly. Go ahead.
Becomes more diverse.
So what I hear, Anthea, is this fear or anger about losing white power.
Yes.
There are all sorts of Christians in the United States of America who is attracted to this form of Christianity.
You know, I want to start off by a line from my book where I talk about the promise of whiteness. And the promise of whiteness is about having authority and power, and specifically white male power. And so one of the reasons why I think people are attracted to this, whether they be white Christians or non-white Christians, is because it's a sense that they can have a proximity to power. That's the first thing. The second thing is nostalgia. Let's hope that we can go back to the times they were, like the 1950s or something.
When make it's America great again.
Exactly. Or Americanism, as it was called in the 1950s, or back when it's 2008 election, it was going to be America first. There's been all of these kinds of things, right? So I think one one of the things that we have to really consider is that these are people who don't want immigrants. They don't want any difference. They want a homogenized America. And homogeneity means being white Christian. And I think that's something.
There it is. You hear it? It's starting to leak in. It's starting to leak in. It's very, very, very important that we keep testing these boundaries and pushing these boundaries and pushing these boundaries and pushing these boundaries. The more we lean into this, the more we make it normalized that we can look at MAGA, we can look at Trump supporters, you can look at Republicans and say you're white Christian nationalist. That's where you start. That's where we start with you motherfuckers. That's where your policy and the foundation of your party is white Christian nationalism. And when we can do that, when the mainstream of this country, when it leaks into the mainstream, because I'm telling you, folks, people out there that are just walking around have not heard about this shit. They have not. I know you feel like they have because you're paying attention, but they have not. They have not heard about white Christian nationalism. They haven't heard those three words paired up like that. And someone just said that it's possible that they're watching the show. I have a couple other comments I want to show here. You guys are so good at this. They are watching Tony. And I think you mean by Colin, I think you mean by they are watching Tony. I think you mean the media. Yes, I do believe that there are some MSNBC producers that do watch this show. I'm not sure how often they watch it. We know there's a few secret accounts that go into the Discord and view it in Discord. It's one of the best places for them to view it without anyone knowing that they're watching it. but I'm sure they listen to the replays either on audio or on video. And they're catching on that this is actually a message that will carry. And it will be a message that people will watch and pay attention to. Here's another one I want to show. Press, 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 press. Yes, we have to press. We cannot back off of this. We can't say, oh, the media caught on. Now our job is over. No, 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 no. Now is the time not to let up. Now that the press is actually going, oh, okay, Now we can make the American public aware of this in a different way. Because I'm telling you, there is one thing that the American appetite wants is to define the problems that we have in our country with division other than the word Trump. This country hates that motherfucker. This country is so sick and tired of hearing about that son of a bitch. They're sick of it. They want nothing about it. The one reason why people are disengaging in politics in the first place is because they're sick of hearing about that motherfucker. That's one reason why a lot of people who voted for Trump in 2016 and in 2020 are going to go vote for Joe Biden, because they know that's a way to keep him from being in the fucking mainstream, to shut the fuck up about that son of a bitch. They're tired of hearing about it. They don't want to hear about it. Now, a lot of the poly heads, you know, people who pay attention to politics like you, they want the Trump crack. There's a lot of folks out there that want the Trump crack. It's the reason why a lot of people watch a lot of creators that I mock and make fun of. It's the reason why they continue to do Trump crack videos to sell ads. But that's not going to play for a long time. I actually am wondering what is going to happen to some of these creators who their entire personality, their entire channels are built around the legal woes of Trump. Where are you going to go after he's gone? Because he's going to be gone eventually. You're like, oh yeah, but Tony, the next 2 years is going to be, and it's, yeah, but what about after that? And what are you going to do? Huh? And what are you going to do? All the insurrectionists, all those trials will be done, right? What are you going to follow, do a where are they now tour? With the insurrectionist? Is that what you're going to do? The Trump administration officials from 2016 to 20, where are they now? Is that what you're going to do? A lot of them are going to be irrelevant even in the political space because no one's going to take them seriously. Kim says here, white oligarchy. And that's a good point too. But white Christian nationalism is a way to well define what is happening. Let's keep going with some of this video here from Stephanie Ruhle's show.
you and I didn't have these big education and career opportunities, well, then we would be home raising those children.
Exactly. It would be just like what happened with the RNC rebuttal to President Biden. When we start to talk about the appeals that the Republican Party, and specifically President Trump, is making, he's making an appeal that I'm going to protect women. I'm going to help women. I am going to be the one to do that. And at the same time, taking away all of their reproductive rights.
You know, we can't understand what's happening in our political moment now without really understanding this movement and how it works. So, for example, this movement is up to its eyeballs in January 6th, and the leaders were promoting the whole election fraud coup attempt. And unfortunately, this is a movement that's really seized control of the Republican Party. Democracy really needs gatekeepers.
What's the end goal?
Power. I think it's power, but it's a particular kind of power. And it's...
I'm so glad, you know, I don't mean to pat myself on the back, because on a day that I was dead wrong that Trump wouldn't go to a trial, then I'm probably dead right on this one. And I have been for a long time. And at the first video, and I've showed you guys this video before, the very first video that really set off my commentary career, I talked about Christo-fascist authoritarianism. I didn't call it white Christian nationalism then because it hadn't formed quite to white Christian nationalism. It really took the 2020 election and the election denial between the election and January 6th and then the coup attempt for it really to morph into what we now know as white Christian nationalism. And it really is the part of the threat to our democracy. And it's the main threat to our democracy. Trump is just a symptom of this fucking disease. I mean, if this was a really bad VD that gave you genital warts, Trump is the warts on your ball sack. Okay. He's the thing that irritates you. It won't go away. You cut him off, bam, and back there again. I've never had, but I'm just saying that that's probably the case. Is that it's the Trump is the ball warts of this VD of white Christian nationalism that we have, if you want to put it in that sort of terms, you know. They're definitely not going to put it in those terms on MSNBC with these three intellectuals, but go ahead with the intellectuals.
Almost the Nietzschean will to power, ends justify the means. They want power both to advance certain things that they believe in and to care about, but I actually think that they also want power to inflict real harm on the people that they disagree with. This is, I think, the appeal of Trump saying that I am your vengeance, I am your retribution.
There are some Christian voters who see him as their savior.
For evangelicals, this is where I, you know, am personally appalled, because they're, for evangelicals, there is only one savior, and that's Jesus Christ. But the way they think about Trump is that he is a divine figure. In the first round of his presidency, they compared him to King Cyrus. There's all this artwork of Jesus standing behind him in the Oval Office. There were all these memes that happened in the first round. But what has happened now since 2020, he lost, is that now he's taking up sort of tying himself into a persecution complex. Look, they are doing this to me. I am your savior. I'm the one to do this. So it was no mistake that he started to sell the Bible on Holy Week, right? And last year, he did the same thing. He talked about how they are trying to persecute him. So this narrative of persecution is tying into evangelical beliefs about their own persecution, what they perceive to be persecution. And he's the perfect person for them. So in other words, it doesn't matter if he's had three wives. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff we thought would matter to evangelicals. What matters to them is that they see him as a suffering savior, but a suffering savior for their causes and for them.
Whiteness. He is a symbolism of their privilege being smashed. And he is a symbol of them losing their privilege as he loses his freedom because of the crimes that he committed. Bunchy says she speed talks. I got this thing turned up a bit. I got it turned up. So in other words, it's fast. I've got it going fast because it's like a fucking 10-minute video. And I want you guys to see the whole thing. And the reason why I want you to see the whole video, because we've got about, we're almost halfway through. We got about 5 more minutes. The reason why I want to show you the video is because I want to show you what it looks like when the media starts to cover white Christian nationalism. They're not 100% there yet. Okay. I'm still being very critical of this broadcast, in that they don't well define that it's white Christian nationalism. I think that MSNBC should get off its high horse and realize that they may take some legal battles over the phrase white Christian nationalism, and they really need to show the audience examples of this. Again, it's one thing for three intellectuals to sit and talk about this with Stephanie Ruhle. It is a complete other thing to play clips of white Christian nationalists saying this shit out loud. Because so many times they go to a Trump rally and they put a microphone in front of the Trump supporter's face and they ask them a question. These people regurgitate the dumbest shit you've ever heard in your life, right? It's ridiculous what they say. And it's fun to mock. It's fun to mock them because it sounds so goddamn stupid. And it is good content to show normies out there that, hey, do you believe this kind of shit? Like, no. If that's what a Trump supporter is, then I don't want to be a Trump supporter. So that's all good in the effort of creating discourse around this election and the difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. But the problem is that we're not getting to the root of the problem when the media is only listening to intellectuals here speak on what they believe is Christian nationalism, when they could just show the audience examples of white Christian nationalism. It's not that difficult, but let's continue with this interview here.
Trump is the personification of a lot of values that the white evangelical movement had for decades and decades. A lot of people who don't follow the movement think, and understandably so, isn't there this massive hypocrisy on Trump with his depraved life, moral life, personal life? How could they like him? Again, that's true, but that's not the full story. It's the cruelty that he embodies that unfortunately, tragically, shamefully resonates with them. So there's something about him, and we saw this in the primaries in 2016. We see it again, you know, this year in the primaries. When Republicans have choices, conservative alternatives to Donald Trump, non-corrupt alternatives to Donald Trump, successful governors like Nikki Haley, they reject her, they reject them in overwhelming numbers. That means there's something about Trump that draws them to him, to them, which is...
He's a white and he's a male. He's white and he's male. That was the difference between him and Nikki Haley. Well, what didn't you understand about that? What couldn't you possibly understand? The other thing too is Trump is a piece of white trash, right? You don't think that white trash identifies with white trash? Come on, it's true. That white trash identifies with white trash. It's the reason why white trash didn't identify with Ron DeSantis. It's because Ron DeSantis he doesn't have that sense that he grew up in a fucking trailer park, right? Ron DeSantis feels like he grew up in a McMansion in a suburb somewhere and went to a private fucking school and looks down on people. I mean, he is fascist trash, but he's not white trash. You know, he's not. Ron DeSantis didn't grow up around trashy people. I mean, they are trash. Don't get me wrong. It's hard to define what I'm saying here, I guess. Ron DeSantis is weird. He feels like an android, right? He feels like an android. And he does weird things. Trump is truly white trash. He just rich white trash.
A real shame.
Catherine, you wrote that right-wing conspiracy theories have never been more bloodthirsty. We have seen political violence become a reality. January 6th was clearly that. I want to understand if and how Christian nationalism played a role in January 6th, and do you think there'll be more violence ahead?
Well, the movement leaders absolutely played a role in January 6th. They spread election lies in the run-up to January 6th. This Conservative Action Project, an organization affiliated with the Council for National Policy, issued a memo telling it's this is one of the key networking organizations of the religious right, telling leaders that they should and their allied political allies that the electoral vote should be contested. So, and not only that, there were a number of Christian nationalist leaders who actually participated in the Jericho marches that preceded the January 6th coup attempt. The movement leaders know very well, if you can separate people from the facts, you can control them, you can control their behavior, and you can control their vote. So a lot of the folks who participated in January 6th, a lot of the folks who attend these other sort of conspiracy fests like Reawaken America tours, I don't know if you know about that, there's these sort of traveling pro-Trump conspiracy roadshows that take place.
I love that. Do you know about that? How would the audience know about that? Because MSNBC won't play that type of shit. And that's the point I want to drive home here, is that MSNBC and Stephanie Ruhle, it's great that they're talking about this out loud at midnight, okay? But this needs to be every single fucking hour. Every single fucking hour, they need to be showing videos and clips of these people saying what they think out loud, these white Christian nationalists, at the Great Awakening tours. For some of these podcasts, they could show Mike Flynn, who is the head of the Great Awakening Tour, going on the emails from God Lady on mainstream media. I have no fucking clue how in the fuck Laura Wensk, that clip of her saying that they want a theocratic monarchy wasn't played on national media.
That would be awesome.
I have no fucking clue. And this is the things that the media is not doing. Someone saying is Joy Reid has. Yes, Joy Reid has. And the one reason why Joy Reid has is because Joy Reid's producer is one of the producers that wants the show. Joy follows me on all social media, too, by the way. It's a coincidence. And I'm not just pulling this stuff out of my ass. There's reason to believe why Joy Reid's show sounds a lot like mine. And I actually like that. I think that's a good thing. I welcome copycats. I think some people aren't as good at it as others. Some people sit in silence reading a chat and sipping coffee, trying to be me. But some people actually are better than me at me. And one of the things that's very good is when you have a show like Joy's show, where she's a Black woman who can say my message and it come across in the same way. It really does say something about the fucking fam's message here and how we carry this messaging. Okay? Very important. But again, they need to not just play this in primetime television on the opinion side of MSNBC. They need to be playing this on the news side of MSNBC. It's very important that we stress this to these folks. And we call it what it is, white Christian nationalism. But because we're saying it out loud, we are moving those boundaries, folks. And because we're moving those boundaries, they are doing segments like this.
Places and megachurches and attract thousands of attendees. They just sort of spread lies, all different kinds of lies. There's a lot of QAnon. There's a lot of great replacement and other conspiracies. But the main lie that they're spreading is the idea that Donald Trump is their savior. He's a really terrific guy. The election of 2020 was stolen. And unfortunately, they're really priming a section of the American public to become sort of authoritarian voters.
What could another Trump administration look like with some of these guys at the helm?
Well, it could look really bad, because basically what you have now is called Project 2025, which is a piece that's been put together by the Heritage Foundation, where they talk about how they will
a
turn
900 manifesto,
yes,
really,
basically, where they're.
And I love how now they're tying white Christian nationalism to Project 2025. Of course, we've done that from the beginning. We knew exactly what the Project 2025 was as soon as we heard about it. We knew it was a ploy for white Christian nationalists to take over our democracy and absolutely undermine our federal bureaucracy and use the bureaucracy to undermine democracy and turn this into a fascist state. It wasn't complicated. I mean, we've seen this roadmap before in Germany. In Nazi Germany. In the 1920s. Where they laid out a legal roadmap that would allow the Nazi Party to use the Republic at the time's bureaucracy to undermine and make Hitler the Führer, the king, the dictator, or the dictator for one day. Listen, Hitler was only dictator for one day only, and then he remained that way. Is how it works. All right, let's go ahead and finish this up. And then I'm going to show you some clips of white Christian nationalism, because that's what we do here on the Tony Michaels podcast.
They're going to change all these different roles of places in government, how they're going to put their own people in, what kind of rules will change because of this. They are already interviewing people. The other thing I would say is that, you know, you heard Donald Trump yesterday say, well, I'm not really going to be involved in abortion. I'm going to kick this back to the states, right? That's an obfuscation.
He's the reason the decisions are being made in
these states. Exactly. But he's doing a nice little feint so that people won't see this and that he can get women's votes. We can look at book banning. We can look at how you can't teach ethnicity in certain places in schools, where people have to actually get permission for their kids.
Oh, I do want to mention one thing before I forget it. She mentioned book banning. There is one phrase, and I mentioned this in the book club on Friday, and I want you guys to carry this phrase with you. And the reason why I want you to carry this phrase with you is sometimes it is going to be hard for people to understand the three words white Christian nationalism. It's going to take us several months to get this into the public and get the public to understand those three words, white Christian nationalism. But there is one thing. When someone looks at you in real life, now this is in real life, okay? This is belly to belly, face to face situations. And someone is talking to you about white Christian nationalist, and you're talking to them about it, and you're talking to them about Republican Party. And they say, well, what do you mean by white Christian nationalist? What do you mean by that? You say the words book burner. They're book burners. Okay. There is plenty of reference to book burners in our history. And when someone hears the word book burner, it really gives them insight to where this is going, right? No one appreciates the image of people burning books, right? This is kind of like, and I think on Friday I even compared it to the movie Footloose, where the book burners wouldn't let you play music and wouldn't let you dance. You remember the Kevin Bacon movie? Forget about the fucking remakes. They suck. I'm talking about the original Kevin Bacon movie, where they stopped him in his car because he was playing a cassette tape too loud, playing rock and roll music, dancing time, and they couldn't dance in town. They're fucking book burners. People understand that shit. So sometimes you're going to have to use other ways to kind of describe what white Christian nationalism is, because people are going to get confused in real life and they're not going to know exactly what you're saying. And a good way to use two words very quickly to describe what these Republican white Christian nationalist MAGA Trump supporters are is book burners. They're book burners. Oh, book burners. Well, fuck me. They don't like books. Vixen says a cassette. Well, heaven, get the matches. Burn it now, motherfucker. You got a rock and roll cassette tape? When's the last time you owned a cassette tape, huh? When was the last fucking time? So I want to thank my friend, Christopher Webb, for cutting together some of that segment that Stephanie Miller played on the 11th hour on MSNBC. And we need to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing this boundary to make the media really focus in on what is important to our country and our democracy and getting to the truth. It's very important. Now I've been told that I got something in my ear that says we need to go to some grifty grift. So I got to grift you just a little bit. So hang on with me here. We're going to grift and then we're going to get back to the show because we got about 20 minutes left in the show. But I got to do a little bit of grifting here to support the show. Here's what you do. You go to thetonymichaels.com. That's right. You go to thetonymichaels.com. Hit subscribe at the top of the page. You know, it'd be great if you pan on down to the YouTube channel and you actually follow us on the YouTube channel if you're not. And you should also follow us on the Twitch channel if you're not. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can tie your Prime account to your Twitch account for commercial free viewing. I'll show you how to do that in a second. You should also go to the Library of Democracy and like their YouTube channel. That's going to be a huge resource we're going to tap over the coming months to talk to you about elections and how to get engaged in real life in your democracy. The Library of Democracy is going to be a huge source of resources. And how you find some of those resources is you go to the Patreon and the Discord server. That's right. We're going to have a lot of these resources available for you to tap into right there on the Discord server. Here's that link where you link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account so you get commercial free viewing. That's right. If you have an Amazon Prime account, you can actually link it to your Twitch account and you get one free subscription. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It doesn't cost anything extra to tie your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account. All the directions are right there on thetonymichaels.com, and it helps support the show. So click the link Amazon to your Twitch account and do that. Also, follow me on Patreon and consider buying a membership. If you're already following me on there for free, consider a $5, $10, $20 membership. And we're going to have new things coming from the team on Patreon. Patreon is changing their platform, making a few changes, upgrades, and we're going to try to take advantage of those to deliver you more content about me personally. So if you want to get to know me personally a little more, just what makes this show tick and kind of behind the scenes and who I am, you're going to want to join the Patreon and get a $5, $10, or $20 membership there. It's what keeps this microphone powered on against fascism is the listener and viewer like you. I also want you to do one more thing for me here. Go to the store tab and enter the Commie Falls gift shop and check out some of the stuff that is going on there at the Commie Falls gift shop. We'll have some updated merchandise and little trinkets and things that you will get to see in the coming weeks. All right. Is that good enough with the grift? Am I grifting it? Am I good? All right. All right. All right. Let's go back to some white Christian nationalism, because I do want to show you this. This is actually a funny part where the Good Liars, some of our favorite comedic on the ground warriors do. Now, again, this is all good and fun. And this is important stuff to do, to see how people react to this type of stuff, especially when it's done in a satirical way. So let's fire it up.
Get your Bibles. Get your Trump Bibles here. The good book is now a great book.
It's like the Bible, but better. Bible's out of date.
Would you guys like to get grifted? I'm selling Bibles.
They're cautionary parables. There's so much to be learned from Donald Trump's life.
This is a passage from the Trump Bible.
And Donald Trump said unto his servants, I shall change the path of the hurricane with thy Sharpie.
Among the listeners was a humble tradesman named Billy Bush. And Donald Trump said unto Billy Bush, when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. Grab them by the pussy. You can do anything.
Hoping to sow doubt and division among the people and seize power for himself, Trump said unto the people, check his birth certificate.
Donald Trump saw an opportunity to profit from the faith of his loyal followers. He commissioned the printing of countless Bibles.
As the ballots were counted and as the results announced, it became clear that Donald Trump had not secured enough votes.
That's not a Bible story.
No, it is a Bible story. It is. It's in the Trump Bible. See? Trump Bible. And it's a story in it. So it's a Bible story.
It's a grift, right?
The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt commit adultery.
Thou shalt put no other person above Trump.
Thou shalt steal.
Thou shalt commit false witness against thy neighbor. It means you can lie.
Okay, would you like a Trump Bible?
Oh, how much are they?
Only $10.
$10?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll each take one. Here's another 10. Ooh.
We just sold
They'd be like, it's a Bible with Trump's name on it. You goddamn right. How many do you got, motherfucker? Oh, my fucking God. You got to be shitting me.
A Trump Bible here. There you go. So many things to learn in there. A lot of stuff is about what not to do.
The good book is now a great book.
The Book of Moron. The Book of Moron. The Trump Bible on sale today. Oh, son of a bitch. I bet they would take suggestions on any kind of Trump Bible verses that you like to write. Wink. If you know what I mean. Let's see if we can get that clip up on the social medias as well. The social medias. Let's see if we can get that one going up there. That's hilarious. The Good Liars with the social medias. With the social medias. All right. I want to go to some more white Christian nationalism here. I had a clip in mind. Oh, yes. This is the thing I wanted to show you. So this is really fucking weird. All right. I always thought this picture of Trump was really fucking weird. Okay. And I always thought it was kind of gross. Right. But the Senate Republicans are really going balls deep on this thing. So the Senate Republicans, this is an ad. You can see over here, I screenshot this from Twitter. I was scrolling on Twitter over the weekend. And when I scroll, whichever it is. Did you guys know, real quick, that's where the Surfs Up motherfuckers at the end of the show came from. Remember that? Surfs Up motherfuckers. I used to do a Twitch show that was called the Shitless Roundup, and we would surf the Tweety Tweets and Trendy Trends. The problem is Elon ruined all that. So I still surf Twitter, and every once in a while I see an ad. So I screenshot this ad. It said, all aboard the Trump train. We need to know where you stand ahead of this year's presidential election, the most important election of American history. Are you still a Trump supporter? My God, it's fucking pathetic, isn't it? But this is from the Senate Republicans page, their official Twitter account. So Trump is not only taking over the RNC, but the Senate Republicans campaign, which just tells you that Ted Cruz is not going to get any money from the Senate committee, which is awesome. I like that. I like that Trump is totally going to box out Ted Cruz from getting money. I'm excited about that. Thank you, Donald Trump. But what is really weird is this is the fucking picture. This is real. I did not modify this in any fucking way, I promise you. But if you see, it says winred.com here. That's where the ad is from, because the ad is at the top. And then this is the fucking picture they chose where he's humping the fucking flag. And you don't get more fucking white Christian nationalist than this. Him fucking the flag. It's really kind of gross. This is so stupid. Why in the fuck did they pick this picture? The reason why they picked this picture is because they know Trump supporters, you know, get all fop sweat up on it. You know what I mean? They're jerking off to this type of stuff, right? But I also want to point out here at the bottom, right? All right, if you look at the what is public as far as the analytics are concerned here, there's 1,000 comments on this thing. There was 412 reposts that they call it now. And then there is 2.4 likes and 1.7 million views. And the reason why is because they're paying for people to see this in their timeline, because it's an ad. So they're paying for people to see this picture in their timeline. It's kind of fucking crazy. But I just want to show you the white Christian nationalism where he's humping the flag. That's kind of funny, though, that they're paying to put that in my timeline. It's kind of weird. All right. Here is the where is the oh, yes. Speaking of white Christian nationalists, I have a one from Charlie Kirk here as well. So we'll get to that. Can I show that? I don't know if I can show that. oh, man. All right, let's see. I thought I had. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No, that's the wrong one. Damn it. All right. We're going to go with. I thought I had a clip. I go through so many clips. I apologize. I didn't have this clip ready here. It is what it is, but we're going to go to this clip here with Charlie Kirk. And it is Charlie saying the truth, which is kind of wild. Charlie Kirk, the white Christian nationalist, telling you the truth about the state of the race. Listen.
No, our side does not want to win, and we're not playing to win. We just hope that a victory will just fall from the sky. And Democrats are really interested in the infrastructure and the ballot chasing, voter registration. And we are not. And maybe we'll win, maybe not. But the Democrats are certainly playing to win, and we're playing to lose comfortably. Ben, thank you so much. No, our side does not want.
There it is. He admits it. They're losing. They're losing. They're totally fucking frightened. And it's only going to get worse for them as Trump continues to talk. Right. That's the one thing that's keeping them losing is Trump is talking. The other thing that's keeping them losing is he's totally undermined their entire fucking infrastructure for raising money. And they need money to win. And he's stealing it all. He's stealing all their money and sucking up all the funds. Here's the video that I wanted to show you. It's not of a white Christian nationalist, but it is something that I'm not sure why this isn't being shown. But if you watch this video here, this is Trump actually showing up in Florida. Well, watch this.
The other way.
Okay, I'm gonna mute it here. You seen Trump was right there. You see him there waving his stupid tiny little hands. Okay, now I want to back this up because I want to show you while we got it on mute, because there's Trump there. But you see, there's Trump flags, Trump flags, Trump flags, Trump flags, Trump flags, Trump flags. Is there an American flag anywhere here? Is there an American flag anywhere, or is it just Trump flags? You notice that? You know, I've asked the question before, how many American flags does it take for a person to stand in front of for them to not be a traitor, or to, you know, to pretend not to be a traitor? But there's tons of flags there. And Patriot Takes so brilliantly pointed this out, that they're all Trump flags along that street. where he's showing up. None of them are American flags. And my guess is you're going to see less and less and less American flags at Trump rallies and during these Trump things. I want to show you a couple clips here of the meeting, speaking of white Christian nationalists, with Mike Johnson. Here's how it started, and then I'll show you how Mike Johnson kind of ended it. Here's how it started.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to have you at Mar-a-Lago, my $18 million house on the ocean and the bay.
And so he's admitting that it's $18 million. So I guess all that shit was for nothing. It's 18 million, not a billion and a half. All right.
And it's one of the problems we have.
Richard Dibba Doobie Depp. I don't know. Maybe he'll say that.
System that's very corrupt. We have a border that's open. We have a lot of problems in our country. And
we have a lot of problems in our country. One of them is me. I'm a big problem in our country. Huge problem. People don't know that, but I'm a huge problem. I'm one of the biggest problems that we have in our country because I won't shut my fucking mouth and go away. All right. Well, here's how Mike Johnson decided to finish it up. I want to see if you catch this here of how he describes Donald Trump as he points at him. See if you can catch it.
Everybody from around the world to come here, including hardened criminals,
I can't stop watching it. I can't stop watching it. It's so good. He's like, yeah, he's fucking crooked ass bastards like this guy. Like this fucking guy. Oh my God. Oh no, one more time. Go for it. One more time.
Everybody from around the world to come here, including hardened criminals.
Oh fuck. Mike Johnson, you son of a bitch. You gotta make me agree with you. You dirty bastard, you. You dirty bastard, you. All right, let's see if we can work in one Christian nationalist clip here. I'm going to see if I can find the one that I was looking for earlier. I have a Nick Fuentes clip for you, but it's not as fun as this here. This is what they're saying on. And again, there's tons of ways for the media to find this stuff and to really make sure that they show this stuff. Here is a obscure podcast that more and more people are listening to, and their messaging is resonating with this group of people. Listen to this type of white Christian nationalism here. Let's listen.
When it comes to dealing with the rights woman problem, there are definitely those of you out there who will just say, well, it's simple. We need to repeal the 19th. And trust me, I am no fan of the 19th Amendment myself. I think it more so than anything else solidified in our consciousness the idea that the political process should be one person, one vote.
Oh, see, she's not tying it to women. It's one person, one vote. We watched this shit the other day on the Peanut Butter and Jelly podcast. Okay. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a more and more and more of a talking point, because now that they've taken women's right to bodily autonomy and they're criminalizing pregnancies all across the land in red states, now they want to upend the 19th Amendment. The reason why they want to upend the 19th Amendment is because, I don't know, women are going to vote to codify their rights in these states. Where they're trying to criminalize pregnancies, ban their privacies with doctor's office, and really ultimately take away access to healthcare to women that they need, that their fucking lives depend on it. Okay. Because it's healthcare. It's fucking healthcare, you fucking boneheads. But again, they're going to amp up this rhetoric on women shouldn't vote. Women shouldn't vote. Women shouldn't vote. And they're going to try all angles of this. The other day, we watched an example where they're trying to angle of, well, you don't pay enough taxes to vote, you son of a bitch. So And if women, if men won't let women work, then women won't make enough money to vote, right? Like, that's kind of their thinking. But here she's saying it's one person, one vote, and it shouldn't be. What should it be there, cunt face?
Which is not a good system. I don't believe in democracy. I believe individual rights and limited government are way more important than the idea of everybody having a vote. And
oh, fuck me. These people are so stupid. But it's not actually stupid. It's intentional. Okay. This is all the intentionality of white Christian nationalism and pushing this fascist message to try to convince the population that, hey, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. Because the fact of the matter remains, when and if they come to steal your democracy from you, if you don't actually believe in democracy or believe our country is a democracy, you won't fight them to take it away from you. That's their thinking. That's the intentionality. That, again, that is the Project 2025. Lady Drummer says Project 2025 will take away all HIPAA laws regarding abortions past and present. Right. They're wanting to make sure that they can get right up in your bodily autonomy. And one way to do that is to make sure that women can't vote to codify it in state constitutions. Go ahead, you scumbag. Finish what you were saying.
And if the past few generations have showed us anything, it's that democracy and individual rights and limited government don't often go hand in hand. I'm in favor of a limited franchise. And by the way, no, that's not a radical position. That is the position that the founding fathers have.
The founding fathers didn't like democracy at all. Nope, never. They didn't want representation with taxation. Nope, they didn't want that. They didn't want to vote for the representation either. These people are fucking brain dead. But it's all intentional. It's intentional. And the media needs to start pointing it out. The media needs to start showing clips like this. This is the shit that the people at the rally buying the Trump Bibles, this is the fucking shit they're listening to. This is why they're ignorant of the facts, is because of what they're listening to. That's why they're ignorant. And that's why you come here, because I show you this shit. I'm on the fucking up and up. We make sure we know the threat. We identify the threat to our democracy, and we are going to beat it at the ballot box. We are going to engage in our democracy to pile up these fucking scumbag fascists under mountains and mountains of votes, because you are the backbone of this democracy. It is the people that are going to do it, and you should come back here tomorrow like you do every single weekday, Monday through Friday, noon Eastern, 11 Central, 9 Pacific, on YouTube for some of the time. And then Facebook, Twitch, and X-Gen. I'm still banned from Instagram, but you know, that's how it goes. Same time, same place tomorrow. Surf's up, motherfuckers.
You've been listening to the Tony Michaels Podcast. In-your-face commentary of current events and political news. No rules, no boundaries. I think we've made that perfectly clear. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back soon. In the meantime, follow Tony on social media at The Tony Michaels. And until next time, raise a fist and repeat after me. Fuck 'em.
Fuck 'em.
Murphy's Meal Barn, head ass speaking.
Anyone that knows me personally knows there's not a racist bone in my body. But a lot of people don't know me personally, do they? So they go by what I say. And if you're just going by what I said that night, you have every right to be offended. That was unacceptable. And I'm asking every one of you to forgive me if you can find it in your heart to do so. And thank you for letting me learn from this experience. And I will learn from this experience. I will try to be more careful with my speech. And there's no excuse. I'm not going to try to excuse anything. But I do regret those words. And I will be much more careful in the future. I want to thank my haters on YouTube, Owen, Fireside Chat, others that I think they have a secret crush on me. But I want to thank them for calling me out on that. I deserved it. I should have been called out on that. And I always listen to my enemies, because enemies many times will tell you what you need to hear. And so I appreciate them for calling me out. And again, I apologize. So I still think she's a dummy. I still think she talks monkey talk. I still think that she's ignorant, dumb, and should not be wearing a robe and should be living in the jungle as Judge Jumanji. Okay. But her physical appearance, off limits. Anyone that knows me personally
are founders in the very First Amendment. Very First Amendment, there's five parts. Most people don't know that. People think the First Amendment, freedom of speech, right? Actually, no. There's five parts in the First Amendment. And the very first part, which I know because I've read the Federalist Papers and I've read the writings of our founders, why did they put the, you know, sort of those five parts in the First Amendment, 1.1 is the freedom of religion. Not that speech comes next, right? The freedom to practice your faith, the freedom to practice your religion. They argued about that because they wanted to make sure that there was always a connection between what we know is in our Declaration of Independence, the idea of the Creator. Okay. And I mean, that word is in the Declaration four times, actually five, if you include the word Lord, because it's signed under the day of our Lord in the, you know, in the year that it was signed in. So, I mean, our founders wanted a constant connection between the founding Judeo-Christian principles and values that our country was formed up on. That's the very first thing in the very first Bill of Rights, the very first amendment of our Bill of Rights,